If you shake Trinity's hand and ask her how she's doing, she'll always say, "I'm tired." And, you know, she's too young to be tired. Thank you. But I think we can probably all relate to that. We all get tired. We get physically tired. We get emotionally tired. We get spiritually tired. It took me forever to get this message. I don't know why that is. It came very, very late in the week for me. And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it after I got it, and I struggled with it this morning. And I think it's the message God has for us. I've prayed and asked Him for direction, but sometimes you're just tired. Sometimes you just want to sit down and quit. You just want all the stuff that's going on around you just to all go away, right? Somebody came in this morning and said they'd been sick last weekend or something. They'd slept all weekend long, and they said that. And I thought, boy, that sounds so good. Just sleep all weekend long. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's that due season, isn't it? There is never a time in the Christian life when we should take a break. Sometimes we do, but we shouldn't. There's never a time in the Christian life when we should relax our standards just a little bit to fit in with the crowd. We do sometimes, but we shouldn't do it. There's never a time to pray less. There's never a time to worship less. There's never a time to attend church less. There's never a time for less in service in the Christian life. But we get tired. And the promises to those who don't faint, who don't quit, who don't give up, who even though it's when it says be not weary, it doesn't mean don't get tired. It means don't quit. The Bible's full of stories of people who faced difficult situations sometimes for a long, long time, but they didn't quit. They remained faithful. And because they were faithful, they reaped the reward in due season. And I want to talk about one of those guys this morning. His name is Caleb. His story is found in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. And Joshua, I even heard one of the Sunday school classes this morning talking about Caleb. So I don't know. I didn't know that. But so if this is a rerun, don't go to sleep. The first thing I want us to notice about Caleb is that he was commissioned. In Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses to pick out 12 guys, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is while they were in the wilderness. And he said, "I want you to pick out 12 guys, and I want them to go into the promised land and to spy it out, to check it out and see how things are." And in chapter 6 of verse 13, we're told that Caleb was one of those 12 guys. And then in verses 17 through 20, we're given the commission. We're told the commission that they were given. The Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Caleb, along with the other 11 guys, were commissioned by God, chosen by God, and commissioned by God for a specific purpose. Now it wasn't easy. You know, we have a tendency, I have a tendency, and I think I'm pretty normal. We have a tendency, don't laugh too much at that, to read the Bible and think, oh, it was easy for them. I mean, you know, we can read the story. We can read the story of Caleb in a few minutes. If we read everything there is to say about him in the Bible, we can read it in a few minutes and it's done. And it was an 85-year story. It was 40 years in the wilderness wandering, 5 years taking care of the promised land, and he was 40 years old when he started. It's 85 years. We read it in a few, oh, well, what's the big deal? That's no problem. You know, we always think our problems are worse. Our whatever it is that we're going through lasts longer than it does for anybody else. It's always worse for us. This was not easy. These 12 guys We're going to be gone for 40 days. They didn't know that when they left. But they were going to be gone from 40 days from family and friends, from whatever comfort they had of home. That wasn't much comfort, but whatever it was, they were going to be gone. They had to get their own food and water. Now, you understand that while the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, they didn't have a surplus of food and water. So these 12 guys didn't have a surplus of food to take with them, so they had to get their own food and water. They had to find it in an unfamiliar land. They had to scout out the land, map out the land. They didn't know anything about it. They'd never been there before. They had to stay hidden from the inhabitants of the land because they all knew what was happening. They all knew the children of Israel were getting close. So this was not an easy job to do. I know it wasn't easy because in his commission, God said, be of good courage. You don't have to tell somebody to be courageous if what you ask them to do is easy to do. And God said, be of good courage. We have been commissioned, Christians, we have been commissioned by God. We have been commissioned to be obedient to Him. We've been commissioned to love one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to forgive one another. We've been commissioned to not be weary in well-doing. We've been commissioned to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of the world, not just where we are, but to all of the world. That's my job. That's your job. It's not an easy task, and I know it's not an easy task because God has told us time and time again in Scripture, fear not, be of good courage. The Christian life is not always easy. Now, I don't want to make it sound too bad because it's better than anything else, right? Whether you're saved or unsaved, life sometimes is difficult. But I do get a little perturbed at some of the preachers and the teachers who want to convince us that Christianity, but we just get saved and life will just be a bed of roses. Right? I mean, if you just have you ever heard this? If you just have enough faith, you'll be healthy. Oh, I'm sick and I've got this disease or I've got that disease. And somebody, well, if you just had enough faith, you'd be healed. Well, I've got this financial problem. Well, listen, if you'll send $10 in an envelope to my ministry and have enough faith, God will give you $100 back. Right? That's what they teach and preach. Listen, the Christian life is wonderful. If you've just got enough faith, you'll just be healthy and wealthy and everything will be fine. It'll all be a bed of roses. They forget about the life that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind, lived. Don't they? He was poor. He was born into a poor family. I know that because when it came time to offer the sacrifice that they did for every male child, they offered the offering of the poor, 2 turtle doves. You read through the Scripture, after Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30, he did not have a home to live in. He didn't travel around in a motorhome or pull a camper behind his truck. He didn't have a cupboard where there was a storehouse of food. When he went to pay his taxes, do you remember this? He had one of the disciples go out and catch a fish. And by the way, there was just enough money in that fish to pay the taxes. Not a surplus, just enough. See, it's an insult to Jesus Christ when we say, oh, listen, if you'll just get saved, God will give you everything you want and you'll be rich. Jesus wasn't. They forget about the life that he lived. They forget about the death that he died. Excruciating pain, horrendous pain. It was barbaric. They spit in his face. They ripped the beard from his face. They beat him with a cat of nine tails until the flesh on his back was just shredded. They put a crown of thorns in his head and then they beat that into his scalp. They forget about the death. Just get saved and have enough faith and everything will be wonderful. You'll be healthy and wealthy. They forget about the death that he died. And they forget about the words that he said. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I wonder how that fits. I've got to be under my bonnet this morning. I wonder how that fits in the name it and claim it prosperity gospel. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Not maybe. Not unless things don't go right. Not if you don't have enough faith in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus went through tribulation. And Jesus overcame the tribulation so that we could be of good cheer and know that we could overcome the tribulation. We have been commissioned by God, and it's going to take courage to fulfill that commission. But be of good courage and be not weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Christian, don't quit. I'm right there with you. Sherry can testify. Boy, there have been days when I come home from work. This is work for me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound rude when I say that, but this is work. This is my job. And there have been days when I've come home from work not too long ago. I said, honey, I think I'm about ready to retire. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't quit. Caleb was also consistent. When the 12 spies came back, Caleb and Joshua were the only two. You know this story. This is not news to you. They were the only two of the 12 that said, you know, we can do it. The other ten said, oh, they all agreed now it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was just like God said it was going to be. Isn't that something? They all agreed that it was just like God said it was going to be. But 10 of them said, but we can't take it. It's exactly what God said, but we don't believe that He can or that He will help us inhabit, possess the promised land. They said, boy, the people there are giants. As a matter of fact, if you read through that passage of Scripture, they said, compared to them, we're like grasshoppers. They're huge. I mean, they could just squash us with their foot. There's no way it can't be done. We can't do it. And what they were saying was, God can't do it. I know it's exactly like what He said it was going to be, but He can't do it. We look at our world today and we read the Scripture and it's exactly like God what God said it would be, isn't it? But sometimes as Christians, we look around and say, well, but God can't take care of it. God's not in control when it's exactly what He said it would be. Caleb tried to encourage him. He tried to say, listen, we can take care of it. We can go. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. They were all in an uproar. And he stilled them and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He said, we can do it. My faith is in God. It's exactly like what God said it would be. And I believe God will do exactly what He said He would do. And let's go. But the voices of the ten prevailed. And they decided that their best course of action was to go back to Egypt. Go back to bondage. Go back to slavery. Go back to the beatings of the Egyptian taskmasters. I think the best thing to do would be to go back to Egypt. And so as a result of their disobedience, and that was disobedience, that God told them to go into the promised land and they wouldn't go. And so it was disobedience and it was sin. And the result of their disobedience was that they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. The 12 spies had been in the promised land for 40 days. And so God said, 1 year for every day you're going to be wandering in the wilderness. Could we think about Caleb for just a minute in those 40 years? 40 years. I hear people say, well, you know, back in the Old Testament, they lived a lot longer. The years were different. The years were exactly the same, and 40 years was 40 years. For 40 years, he wandered around in the wilderness with the children of Israel. God said, again, if you'll read through some of this scripture passage, God said, everybody 20 years old and above, they're going to die. They're not going into the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua, those are the only two exceptions. 20 years and older, or above 20 years, they're all going to die. So for 40 years, Caleb and Joshua wandered around the wilderness waiting for all these people to die. Wouldn't that be terrible? Can you imagine the number of funerals that he attended? Hundreds of thousands. I mean, listen, there was a million plus people in the nation of Israel. Can you imagine how discouraging that would be? Caleb had seen the promised land. Caleb had been in the promised land, but he couldn't live in the promised land until all these people died. Can you imagine how conflicted Caleb must have been? He had to have been upset and sad when his family and friends and acquaintances and contemporaries, when they died, he had to be sad. But at the same time, he had to be thinking, I wish they'd hurry up. Now, I can't go in. I can't get what God promised until all these people die. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been? And of course, the wilderness was no piece of cake to start with, was it? They never had a surplus of food. They always had enough. Now, don't misunderstand me. God provided. They always had enough, but they never had a surplus. They could never go to a cupboard and open the cupboard and have more than what they needed for that day, except the day before the Sabbath. And how about this? For 40 years, every day for 40 years, three times a day, they ate manna or quail. Now listen, I have a hamburger every Sunday. But during the week, I eat something different. Can you imagine 40 years of the same meal every day, three times a day, for 40 years? Ladies, they got no new clothes. They wore the same pair of shoes for 40 years. They lived in tents. They were always mobile. Never put down roots. If they found a beautiful spot in the wilderness, well watered and well shaded, they knew they were only going to be there temporarily. Never put up crops. Never started businesses. Always on the go. Always had to watch out for the enemy peoples that were around them. Always on guard. You never knew when some of them might attack. Had to watch out for the wild animals that were there in the wilderness. You never knew. Can't let your kids run out and play without watching close, because you never know. Can you imagine the stress and the difficulty and the hardships of 40 years in the wilderness, knowing that the promised land is just right over there, but I can't go? And then, of course, there was the almost constant complaining of the people. God can't do it. God won't do it. If God did do it, he did it wrong, or he did it at the wrong time, or he should have done it a different way, or he didn't do it for me, he did it for somebody else. Come on now. It's the Bible's full, isn't it, of the complaining of the children of Israel. Poor old Caleb. Went through all of that. Went through all of that for 40 years. And yet for 40 years he was consistent in his faithfulness and his obedience to God. You know how I know that? Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. This is after they've crossed the promised land, and this is after they've begun to take some of the promised land. And Caleb says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. It's been 5 years since they've started the conquest. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He's 85. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." You know what he said? "For 45 years I've waited and I've been faithful. For 45 years I've not been weary in well-doing. Now give me the mountain. Give me the inheritance that God has promised me. I still believe God can give it to me." The inheritance that Caleb got was inhabited by the descendants of Anak. Anak was a giant. So the inheritance that Caleb received was inhabited by giants. But he said, "Listen, I'm 85 years old, and I still believe God can give that to me. I'm still faithful. I'm still believing." Listen, there are going to be challenges in your Christian life. There's challenges in everybody's life, saved or unsaved. There's challenges. And when we have those challenges, it makes our life difficult. It's not a picnic. I've already talked about that. Sometimes, Christians, you're even going to have to put up with the complaining and the bickering of God's people. And sometimes, Christian, you're going to be the one complaining and bickering. And others are going to have to put up with you and me. But listen, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It's the due season that's a mess, isn't it? But in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That brings us to Caleb, the conqueror. Joshua chapter 15, verses 13 and 14 say, "And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is in Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." 40 years wandering around the wilderness. 40 years of manna and quail. 40 years of consistent obedience to God. 40 years of doing well. And at the age of 85, Caleb led the battle to take the portion of the promised land that God had promised him. Do you know what we do? And I say we because I'm getting there. We say, let the young people do it. Right? Some of you guys have said that because I've heard you. Because I used to be young, and some of y'all used to say, let the young people do it. Don't you think that would have been easy for Caleb? 85. Listen, he's at least 20 years older than everybody else in the army except for Joshua. At least 20 years older than everybody else. The next youngest guy to him is 65. And the 65-year-old is sitting on the bench saying, let the young people do it. Don't you think it would have been easy for Caleb? Listen, boys, I'm old. There's nobody in this nation older than me, except maybe Joshua. I've done my part. I spied out the land. I told you we could take it. You didn't believe me. Go do it. But that's not what Caleb did. Caleb was the conqueror. Caleb took. The Bible says, and Caleb drove thence. Caleb drove the people out by the power of God. At 85 years old, he was leading the charge. At 85 years old, he was the conqueror because he did not grow weary in well-doing and he wanted to reap the reward in due season. Listen. I'm tired. I understand that the Christian life can be discouraging. I understand that it can be difficult. I understand that pain can last seemingly forever. But the Word of God is true. And the Word of God says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. I know this message has been geared toward Christian people today. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, I want you to know that God loves you and God will forgive you of your sins. And God will strengthen you and God will enable you to be not weary in well-doing. But you've got to come to Him, you've got to confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you. He'll do that. And by the way, I want you to know if you don't do that, your soul, your eternal soul is bound for hell. And the only way to escape hell is salvation in Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll come and be saved this morning. Now, Christian, I know sometimes it seems like all of our efforts are in vain. I know sometimes it seems like nobody responds, that things get worse instead of better. I know sometimes it feels like you're wandering in the wilderness and you've been there for 40 years. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You come if you have a need this morning. Father, I thank you for all of your blessings to us, all that you do for us, Lord. You've given us a big job, God. You're a big God, and I know that you will enable us to do that, Father. You'll help us be faithful, and we need you to do that. And you'll help us to not quit, to not give up, to not be weary, and we sure need you to do that, Father. Help us, help this church to be faithful. Help each person in this building this morning to be faithful to you. And Lord, if there's one in this building this morning who's not a Christian, I pray, Lord, that you'll be faithful to convict them of their sins and draw them to you. Help us to do our part to be your messengers, to spread your word, to show your love to those who are lost. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Tonight, 5:30, 1206 South 12th. Come, we'll have a really good time. And if you're not tired now, we'll make you tired tonight, okay? Becky Jones, would you dismiss us, please?